www.thebiblecompany.com.
Not a lot of pictures this morning, but you got a really good idea of what was taking place. And it was very, very cool and moving to be a part of that. One of the things that I think is, obviously it's the work of God in someone's life that leads them to make a decision to follow Him and then to take that step of faith and be baptized. But there's something that's really cool about this. In a couple of instances, there were individuals who were baptizing the person they were with. And those individuals had something to do with leading that person toward becoming a follower of Christ. You know, that's sort of the unnoticed part sometimes of what took place. And really, that's the focal point of what we've been kind of talking about the last few weeks, and we'll wrap up on today as we're continuing forward. It's about evangelism, or outreach is often the word we use for that here. But it's about sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus and how we do that. And it's very cool to see some individuals be able to be a part of that who had helped in influencing or leading and pointing someone towards God. So in that same spirit, that's where we've been. That's where we've journeyed the last few weeks. So I'm going to give you a quick recap of 3, 2, 1. If you weren't here, this will catch you up to speed on kind of the main points. And I've got a wonderful diagram here. It's beautiful, but this kind of helps. Oftentimes, what happens in the process of someone coming to follow Jesus is this top diagram here, right? It starts with one aspect. There's someone who's come to understand and come to know that Jesus has died for them, that God knew we couldn't make it to Him. There's not enough good things we do that we can reach God. We can't earn our way to be right with Him or to heaven. But He knew that, and so He sent Jesus as a sacrifice to die on the cross for our sin. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, regardless of all the difficult, bad things we've done, the sin in our life, He forgives us, and we're made right with God. And so coming to be a follower of Jesus is kind of that first side. We understand that God has reached down to us. That's the first side of the diagram. Now, our hope is to see a lot more of that happening in the lives of others, right? We want to see the third side of the diagram happen, where a lot of other people are coming to the point of committing their lives to Christ and following Him and choosing to follow Him. So that we can't control. It's up to them to make that decision. It's up to the work of God in their life through the Holy Spirit. But then there's a third side, which is that bottom side, and that's that we do have the responsibility. Jesus does call us to reach out to others and point them to God. That's how it almost always happens in people's lives when they come to be followers of Jesus. It starts with somebody who is a follower of Christ, and they reached out to this other person and pointed them towards Jesus. And that's probably how it happened in your life. If you've made that decision, it's probably how it's going to happen in the lives of people around you. So while we can't control the third side, we can't make that happen, we can do our very best to get better at the bottom part, of the second side of that diagram, reaching out to others. So that's the concept of three, and that's where we talked about the first week. Now, in doing that, we moved on to two last week. And last week we talked about that there were two kind of vital behaviors that, if we incorporate these things into our lives, they can make a huge difference in the ability that we have to lead people or point people towards Jesus. And so that's what two is about. Now, the full description of that is in your notes. I'm just going to recap it. You can read it through. It's going to be unraveling throughout this year. We're going to continue to work towards those things in our lives, and hopefully they become a more regular part. But it basically boils down to two things. Spiritual conversations. You know, if people are going to come to know about Jesus, we've got to be able to engage them in spiritual conversations, point them in the right direction that way. And also regular invitations. That we have a unique opportunity for people to come and experience God and to worship Him and to experience community and the life that we've come to know by inviting them to church, inviting them to a church event. That's still an effective way of people coming to know Jesus. Not that going to church is the answer. It's about Jesus, but this is often a path that leads people in that direction. So ultimately, those are two vital behaviors, two key things we want to work on throughout this year that get us moving in that direction. Spiritual conversations and regular invitations. So that's 3 and 2, and this week we're at 1. As you can see, this is sort of a countdown to our next series. But what is 1 about? Well, we'll get to that in a few moments, but I will tell you this. 1 is about one big challenge that I want to cast out to you guys today as the Portico community regarding this series that's starting next week. Okay, so that's where we're headed. But before we do that, we're gonna dive into Scripture a little bit. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, it's page 818, to make it easy for you to find if you have the Bibles that are here. Matthew chapter 13. And it's a parable that Jesus told that if you've been around church for a while, you're probably pretty familiar with. It's the parable of the sower. And we're going to dive into that. A few comments, a few thoughts, and we'll go. All right, so Matthew 13, we'll start in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So Jesus tells this parable, and he often spoke in parables because he wanted people to get a picture of the kingdom or of spiritual truth, but he didn't want to lay it all out for them. It wasn't yet time for everybody to completely understand what his work was all about. So he often spoke in parables, and sometimes he just left it at that. But in this particular instance, this is one time where we actually get to read the explanation that Jesus gave for that parable to his disciples because he wanted them to understand. So a few verses later in verse 18, he explains it to them and he says this, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfaithful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Now, as is the case with all of Jesus' teachings, there is so much depth and truth to this all. You could spend weeks talking about the significance of what he taught. But this morning, I want to just consider two key ideas from this passage as it relates to what we've been talking about in 3-2-1, reaching out to others and sharing the hope of Jesus. Okay? Two key things. And the first one is this. Sowing, talks about sowing seed. Sowing means we actually tell someone about Jesus. Okay? Sowing means we actually tell someone about Jesus. The seed that's being scattered here in this parable is the word of the kingdom. It's the word. Now that word for word is used about 130 times in the New Testament, and it's almost always referring to a statement, a message, or a verbal account. Okay, it's a word that's spoken. That's how we see it used. We sow seed by telling people about Jesus, right? Not by being kind to them. Not by being loving to them, not by praying for them. I mean, we should do those things, and they have an impact, and that's great. But sowing seed here, sowing, is about telling someone about Jesus. We actually have to do that, okay? So that's a first thought that we want to keep in mind when it comes to sharing the truth of Jesus. The second thing is this: we're not called to plant a seed. We're called to sow or scatter seeds. Okay, we're not called to plant a seed, singular. We're called to sow or scatter seeds. Now, what do we mean by that? The difference, you know, the difference in the pure definition between planting and sowing is a matter of quantity. It really is. To plant something means to place a seed, a bulb, a plant, a sapling, singular, in the ground so that it can grow. But to sow seed, it's a specific form of planting, which is done by scattering the seeds, plural, on or in the ground. You know, honestly, I think sometimes our outreach efforts are pretty selective, right? We carefully plant a seed here or there. I've got sort of some seeds. They're popcorn seeds, right? Little visual, very little visual. And sometimes here's what we do. We like we're gonna plant a seed there. Here you go. Can you take that? There you go. Great. One seed. Can I plant a seed over here? There. Plant a seed here. We plant a seed there. And a lot of times what that is it's like we're waiting for just the exact right moment to tell someone about Jesus. Right? We want to hear the voice of God out loud speak to us and say, right now I want you to tell them about me. And we want the angels to be singing like a choir in the background and know without a doubt at this particular moment, this person is absolutely going to respond to the invitation to follow Jesus. That's often how we do it. We're very selective about how and when we tell people about Jesus. I think if we do that, if we take that approach, that's a bit like imagine trying to plant an entire field one seed at a time. I thought about that in terms of maybe trying to grow some grass in our backyard, which isn't doing very well. But like going out there, if I were to go out there with grass seed and put them down one at a time, how long would that take? No, in Jesus' story, it says that the sower throws seed onto every kind of soil. He scatters some seed on the good soil. He scatters some seed on the path. He scatters some on the rocky ground. He scatters some among the thorns. He scatters it everywhere with everyone. Right? We're called to sow or scatter seeds. And now if I really didn't want to care about cleaning stuff up, I would just take these and throw them everywhere. But you can... No way. You can just imagine it, okay? Because I'm not cleaning it up. All right, we're called to sow or scatter seeds, plural, everywhere. Okay. Now, did you ever see a first grader who did a project involving glitter? All right, if I can just use that as a visual image of scattering seeds. I mean, I remember the girls coming home oftentimes with these glitter projects, you know, and the nice drawing, and then, oh, and we're going to decorate it with glitter, and it's like a big glitter blob, you know, glue and glitter everywhere, and they bring it home, and then when they bring it home, the glitter's in their backpack, and it's in the car, and it's in their hair, and it's on their sweater, and then, of course, they, like, give you hugs and stuff, and 3 days later, someone's going, hey, you know you got a piece of glitter on your forehead? I mean, yeah, I know, I can't, whatever, right? We need to be scattering seeds like a kindergartner spreads glitter, all right? Why hold back? And that's kind of their thinking, right? Why hold back? It's so pretty, you know, glitter everywhere. So that's what we need to spread seeds like that. Scatter seeds everywhere, okay? So those are two things, I think, that are hopefully things we can pull out of this passage in regards to sharing the truth of Jesus with people. But the question this morning is, how good are we at doing that? Right? How good are we at doing that? How good are you at scattering seeds everywhere you go? How good am I at that? In other words, since you came to be a follower of Jesus, how big a part of your life has outreach been? Now, we're going to do a little survey this morning. And if you have your bulletin and a survey, I want you to, first of all, just take that survey out right now. And I want you to hold it up. Okay, hold up in the air. I want to see that you have it. Okay, now if you do not have it, I have asked Tara if she could run some to people. So if she can grab we need everybody to do this. Okay, everybody that we can. I assume we have some extra back there. You can set it down now. If you don't have one, put your hand up. This is anonymous. It's confidential. I am never going to see your specific answer. Okay, no one, I'm not going to recognize your handwriting, and all you're doing is putting some check marks. So I'm asking everyone to do this. I'll explain why later, and you're not going to keep this, but don't rush ahead. Don't like start filling it out. I'm going to walk us through this, okay? If you need a pen, Tara's got pens. Thank you, Tara, for doing that. But here's what we're going to do. So this is a little survey. This was developed or kind of took this from, there's a kind of a teaching and educational standard that was used for the idea of change in people and transformation in like the 1950s. It's been adapted by a pastor recently that used it, and I just thought this was a great way to incorporate it into spiritual things like in transformation and change in our life. And how does it take a hold in us? So we're going to use these five levels as sort of a description for how our life is. And you can see the question there. We're talking about how good are we at scattering seeds and sharing the gospel of Jesus with people. Okay, so as I go through each one, if it applies to you, just check the line. Okay, I'll explain a little more than what it says too. But which of these statements accurately describes your life as it relates to sowing seed and sharing Jesus with those who are not yet following him? So the first level, level one, is aware. Are you aware? Like awareness. You know you are called to share the gospel. Not yet. It's at the end there, all right? I'll cue ya. Wow. It wasn't very clear. That's my fault. You know you're called to share the gospel. You're aware of this, right? You know Jesus wants you to reach out to people who don't know him. You read about that in the Bible. You heard it in a message. At some point in your life, you became aware that you should share the gospel. If you'd say that's happened in my life, then go ahead and check that line. Put a check mark on that line. You're aware. The second level is pondering, right? This is now that we're aware, we begin to wrestle with this or contemplate it. Not only are you aware of it, you've given it some serious consideration. You know, maybe you read a book on evangelism or listened to a podcast about sharing your faith or a series because you wanted to know more about that. You're curious, and how might this look in your life? How might it look in your life? And you've given it some personal reflection, right? So if that's true for you at some point, check that line. In the third level, it's become a value, right? Outreach has become important to you. The concept of outreach has become important to you. Like, you don't need any more convincing. You see the value and importance of it. So you pray for people from time to time that don't know Jesus. You make an effort to invite people once in a while. But you still might have some fear or insecurity about doing it. And it sometimes gets the best of you, but still you value this idea of reaching out to other people and sharing the gospel. And if you'd say that's true of you, that you value this, then check that box or put a check on that line. And the fourth level is that it becomes a priority. It becomes a priority. So you now start to reorder and reorganize your life so that you can maximize the opportunities for impact and outreach, right? You're intentionally leveraging your time and your energy and your resources in your life so you can have greater impact with the gospel, right? You probably let go of some things that used to be really important to you to make more time or energy to be able to have impact with other people and share the gospel, right? If that's true of your outreach efforts, then put a check mark on that line. And then the fifth level is owner, like you own this. Outreach comes naturally to you and you're living it out. Okay, you don't even have to try to make it a priority. It comes natural. It's become second nature. You do it without even thinking, without even trying. So you live it and you breathe it. You own it. And if that's where you're at, go ahead and put a check mark on that line. Okay? Now, two more questions that I'm going to ask, and these are related to us. Again, I know this is specific to us as a church family, And again, I'll explain the reason why in just a moment. But I want to ask you two more questions. And this one, I'll give you a minute or two to think about. How many spiritual conversations with non-Christians or people who are far from God have you engaged with in a typical amount of time? And whatever unit of measure works best for you, you can just circle that one. So if you could say, oh, in a typical week, I have, one or two conversations, and you know that's pretty accurate in a typical week. Well, circle the week and just write the number two. Or maybe you'd say, no, if I think about my month, I've maybe had two or three in a month. Or maybe you could say, well, in the last year, I could probably count that up or figure that out easier. I don't care which unit of measure you use, but give it some thought. In a typical week or year or month, how many spiritual conversations do you have with people who are not followers of Jesus? And the last question, similar fashion, how many people who are not followers of Christ have you invited to church or to a church event in that typical amount of time? Okay, so those last two, I'm going to give you a chance to think about. Rob will play some beautiful music at the moment. I'm going to give you just like 30 seconds, a minute or so, and then we're going to actually come through and collect these from you, okay? So I'm going to ask you to pass them to the middle in a second, but give it some thought and give it an accurate answer, and I'll explain why we've done this in just a moment. I think it should help us just examine our own lives, our own hearts, and see and say, here's where we're at personally with this idea of outreach and sharing the gospel with other people. It gives us an idea of that, makes us think about it a little bit. It wasn't intended to make you feel guilty, just here's where you're at. Okay, but also, I think it's a starting point or a baseline for us. We've been saying over the last couple of weeks that we want to get better at reaching out to other people with the hope of Jesus. And so this is sort of a little way for us to gauge, well, where are we really at to start with? Because better implies we start with where we're at and we see progress. We see movement forward. And so I hope down the road that we'll look back at this day as a church and as individuals, and we'll say, you know, maybe a couple of months from now or a year from now, we'll look back at today and say, wow, God has really brought about a transformation in my life. It's really been a change for me. Now, it's interesting that this, in regards to this whole process, the process of transformation that you just saw, typically in most applications of using it, whether it's a spiritual thing or an educational thing, there's always a large gap between number three and number four, between something being of value and something becoming a priority. And quite honestly, if I were to just ballpark, hey, here's where we're at as a church, I would say, yep, we're probably at a three. You know, we value outreach. We think it's important. We know it's important. Is it always a priority for us? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that it goes that far, you know, and that's significant because, you know, I can say, for instance, I value spending time with my wife, Sherry. I can value that. It's important to me, but if I don't reorder or reorganize my life to actually spend some time with her, it's a value, but it's certainly not a priority, right? And in the same way with outreach, we can value it. It's something we can think is important and genuinely believe is important, but we're not actually doing it. We're not willing to set aside some other things so that it can take on greater importance in our life. It isn't a priority, it's just a value. And I think here's the point. We want to see outreach here at Portico. We want to see outreach move from being a value to being a priority. Right? We want to see outreach move from a value to a priority in our life. But of course, this isn't going to happen automatically, right? It's not just because we did a little survey on it and talked about it a little bit. It's not going to happen automatically. And so that's why this morning I'm going to ask you to take one big challenge, okay? One big challenge as we head into our life-changing conversation series. And here's why I'm asking this before I tell you what that challenge involves, okay? I think that most of us want to see the people around us that we care about and love and the people we're doing life with come to know Jesus. We want that. We know that we're supposed to do that. We just sometimes aren't that good at it. And it doesn't come naturally to us. So we've got to grow in this area. And in order to do that, to get significantly better at engaging people in conversations or inviting people in, scattering seeds, to get better at that, we're going to need to have some focused effort on growing in that area. So that's what the big challenge is about. And I'm going to lay it out for you and ask you to consider, would you take this challenge? Would you take this challenge? So it's one big challenge, but there's, you know, like four parts to it because that'd be too easy just to make it one sentence, you know. But one big challenge, just for the next 6 weeks in the Life-Changing Conversation series, okay? One big challenge. And here's the first one, okay? Ready? Be here each Sunday, all right? Be here each Sunday, every Sunday. Just think about that for a minute. Each week of this series is going to be an important part of the process, right? They do build on each other a little bit. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good to catch like week two and week six and then miss the things in between. So be here each Sunday. Each week will stand on its own, but if we really want to learn and grow, each one of these weeks is going to be an important part of the process. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, if you're not here, go back to point one. No, I'm just kidding. If you're not here, listen to the message. Right? Listen to the message. We work really hard to get a podcast online as soon after the weekend worship gathering as we can. So you can listen to it on iTunes, Portico Oshkosh. You can download it on iTunes, or you can listen online through our website, okay? Take 30 minutes and listen to the message so that you can stay along with what we're doing and where we're going as a community. And I would encourage you, because of what's coming next, do it early. Like, don't wait till like Friday to do this, okay? Do it Sunday night. If you're gone Sunday morning, do it Sunday night. Again, be here if you can. That's the best way. But if you can't, listen to the podcast. Listen Sunday night. Listen Monday morning on your way to work or after work or something like that, okay? So that's going to be really important to do early in the week, because here's the third thing. It's to do the study guide. You're going, what study guide? That's coming, okay? As we go through this series, there's going to be a booklet that's being put together with questions to consider. It's going to have just a weekly activity that we're going to focus in on during the week that follows up on what we talked about with the message. And here's why we're doing this, because, again, this is about learning and growing. The weekend messages are not going to be focused on let's just be motivated to go do a better job, right? It's not just, you can do this, come on, get out there and have spiritual conversations, right? No, we're learning. We're learning and we're growing in that. We want to get better. We want to develop better practices in our life. So it's not just about motivation. It's about developing practices. And to do that, we'll have some things that you can do during the week that will help carry you through. So listen to it early in the week so you can do the study guide. All right? That's why that. And then here's the fourth thing. It's probably the biggest thing, or at least for some. Get in a connection group. Okay? Get in a connection group. It's the place that we get to talk about what we're learning and discovering. It's a place where we can challenge each other and encourage each other in this effort to grow in sharing the gospel. And we're asking for like one night a week, hour and a half, maybe, you know, for 6 weeks. We've kept it short. This is not one of those 8-10-week series. All right, we're going to keep it short so that hopefully it just frees you up to be able to do it. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. So there's a lot of options. If you haven't signed up yet, fill that small group card and turn it in, okay? And if you can't be in a small group, I'll say this. Find someone you can be talking with about these things, right? And be deliberate about that. Have a one-on-one conversation, you know, maybe with a friend or with your spouse or something like that, okay? So Those are the four things. This is the big challenge, okay? Four things. Be here each Sunday. If you can't be here, listen to the message. Do the study guide. And it's not going to be hard, right? It's going to be helpful. And then get in a connection group. Get in a connection group. So that's the one big challenge, those four things. And here's what it really comes down to for us. Will we make a commitment right here, right now, to give our best effort to grow in this area of our life? Right? It's not just about getting busy and doing lots of things. It's that we want to grow in this area of our life. We want to get better at this as a community, as a church, and as individuals. That's not going to happen if we don't work at it. It's just not. And so I know you might be thinking, boy, these couple of things, this is a lot to ask. And maybe it is. Maybe you look at that challenge and you go, oh, there's no way I could do that. Life is busy. Life is hectic. I get that. I've got four daughters. I know what that's like. But in the space that's on your notes, if you want to do this, I'll encourage you to do this here. You can take out your pen and I want you just to draw like a tornado, like a whirlwind, right? I know I'm an amazing artist. There, I'll make the top obvious there, right? Swirls everywhere. That's life, isn't it? It's a lot like that all the time. It's busy. It's crazy. There's a million things going on. We can't keep up sometimes. That's what it feels like. And here we are, you know, caught in it. Once in a while, I think what we need to do is we need to take ourselves, get out of the whirlwind, get ourselves out here, away from the noise, away from the craziness, and just focus in a little bit on something that's important that maybe God wants to do in our lives. So that when we step back into the whirlwind, we have something new to use. We have something better to offer the people around us. And that's really the hope, that's really the goal of this life-changing conversation series. You know, it's a six-week chunk of time, but I hope that it changes us really for the rest of our life, that we become better at scattering seeds like glitter. Scattering seeds like glitter. So I want to ask you this morning to make a decision. Okay? I mean, I don't want to just throw it out there and let you walk away and not. Will you make a decision this morning, kind of one way or another? Will you intentionally join me and others in this intentional effort to get better at engaging people in spiritual conversations? Would you take this one big challenge to jump into it and do that? And I'm asking you to make a decision right here and right now. My hope and prayer is that that decision would be a yes, okay? I hope every one of you would say, yeah, I'm going to do that. Because I believe it's going to have great impact in our lives in terms of outreach. I hope you're not going to say no, but honestly, if that's where you're at, then say no. You know, there's a spot in your notes. Check the no box. We're not going to kick you out of the church, right? Don't worry about that. We're not going to do anything like that. We're glad that you're here. In fact, no one is going to even know except you. But I hope you'll say yes. I hope you'll say, yeah, I want to learn and I want to grow in this. Now, whatever your decision is, I want you to mark that decision in your message notes, okay? Yes or no. Now, don't give this a Facebook maybe, right? You all know what I mean if you are on Facebook, right? Event invitation comes up. Oh, so-and-so is having a bowling party and we're all meeting here and you're invited. Maybe. Which means, heck no, I'm not going, but I just don't want to make a decision, right? I don't want to tell them that. I want to be polite. Don't do that this morning. Just make a decision. If it's a yes, let it be a yes. If it's a no, let it be a no. Whatever your decision is, though, I also want to ask you to go ahead and sign your name on that spot, just saying, hey, this is between me and God, but here's what I'm committing to. Again, I hope you'll say yes, but I want to give you just a moment to think about that. to say, yes, I'm going to make my best effort to take this one big challenge. I'll do the very best I can to do it. And then I'll pray for us in just a moment. So think about that. Do your business kind of here between you and God, and then we'll close in a moment. Challenge. It's one big challenge. It's hard to see where this can happen. And yet the heart underneath it, God, I hope this morning that what we are really stirred up to is not to become more busy, more active in church stuff, but that our hearts are bent towards wanting to see the people around us come to know the incredible love that you offer us. We want to share that. We want them to know. We want to be able to talk to them about that. We want to get better at doing it so that hopefully, as we give our best at pointing people towards you, that they will come to know and believe that you really are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for their sin, that you want to offer eternal life. Father God, help us this morning to take big next steps in seeing that happen. And we pray that this entire journey that we're about to jump into would all be about you, that it would ultimately all be about you. We pray these things this morning, and we worship you. In these next few moments, we turn our hearts to worship because you are a God who's so worth it. In the name of Christ, we pray.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.